Hello, everybody, and welcome to the episode number 38, yes, of the Push My Buttons Games podcast. It's me, Luke. I'm here, and I am joined with Mr. Dungeon Master Mike.
About time you're here! Hey, what's up? How's it going?
the spectacular Panda Pat.
What? I'm here. I was going to say, welcome, Pat!
Welcome, Pat!
And
I'm not awake yet.
And Captain Platinum.
Hi, everybody.
So we have an awesome episode. Pretty much the second half of this episode, Mike is just going to take over. So prepare your bodies.
My body is ready, though.
Is it? But is it Reggie?
It is not Reggie, but it is ready.
Well, my body is Reggie.
Ready.
Well, yes. I don't. Okay, so. Listeners at home, the reason why Luke is saying that I'm going to take over the episode was because pre-recording, I got into a rant, which is very easy to do with some tequila. And he was just like, I want you to repeat every single point that you made when we bring up this story.
It's like, this is gold. This is gold. Just hold it.
So I don't know if I can capture the magic again. But
okay.
We'll try.
So we're going to start out with some Magic the Gathering /D&D card news.
I'll take it away.
Mike, go ahead.
All right, so we've been talking about this. I think this is going to be the set where I come back, and there's a couple of reasons for it. Any of you actually play the card game at all? Panda Pat, Captain Platinum?
Nope. Magic or?
Magic the Gathering.
Oh, I have. Not a lot, but I have cards. I have a deck and everything.
So you know that for tournament decks, the standard deck is usually about 2 years worth of sets.
Yes.
Okay, and then when the year finishes, I believe the all the sets from 2 years prior kind of just fall off the list, and they put in a new year's worth of cards that gets released over time.
Yeah.
But it always opens up with a core set, right? Mm-hmm. So, you can just go to, Magic the Gathering Core Set 2020 or Core Set 2021. I don't know if this is going to be considered 2021 or 2022. I haven't been playing it, but the Dungeons & Dragons set is going to replace the core set, which... Ooh. Is big because the core set has if you're going to get into Magic, you always stock up on core cards. That's because that's going to form the basis of your collection, and it's going to form the basis of strategies, and it's the foundation of that year. And not only that, but the core set contains recurring cards that a lot of people depend on, especially if you're a blue player, which blue kind of results in technicalities and abilities and things like that. There are some recurring cards, and my brother will probably listen to this and be like, no, you're an idiot, because he plays Magic more currently than I do. But there's some recurring cards that players depend on coming back. And so Dungeons & Dragons is going to, or rather the Dungeons & Dragons set is going to come back and replace, not come back, it's going to arrive in lieu of the core set. And Ooh. It's going to form the foundation of the next year. So I don't know if that means they're going to expand on this or what, but this is the amount of cards... And the abilities of these cards are going to form the basis of Magic the Gathering for the next year. There's a couple of things that really get me excited. One is the Deck of Many Things.
Which Deck of Many Things.
Has screwed over our campaign before. there is a Bag of Holding, which Luke had a cursed Bag of Holding.
Uh-huh.
Which, if you... So the Bag of Holding is pretty much a TARDIS from Doctor Who. It's a bag that's bigger on the inside than it is on the outside. And it allows you to carry really heavy things, and, just for whatever. It's imagination. And I gave them a cursed Bag of Holding that had a set of teeth. And so if you were to, like...
I saw that movie!
Yes! Guess what Luke did to it?
Listen.
He not only did what you're thinking to the bag. I believe... I think you did that and nothing came of it. But nope. Then you tried to... to stick your dick in a book that had teeth.
I tried to seduce the book. You can take that however you would like.
Oh, and it failed so bad.
The muffler conversation this morning. Oh, goodness. Stop having sex with inanimate objects, Luke.
I what?
There's got to be like... the a sexually aggressive bard or something like that.
Yes, but in our group, it was a sexually aggressive barbarian.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's the more I look at this set, the more I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll do the pre-release. Which, by the way, listeners, I think next week they're doing my card shop is doing a draft, but it may be Friday night when we record. I haven't decided if I'm going to go or not. But if I'm not at the recording next week, it'll be because I'm at this card event. So I'm not sure. I haven't decided. But yeah, this is coming out. The pre-release is going to be next week.
Mm-hmm. We can always go on Saturday or Sunday.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, I'm thinking about jumping into this. So that's some new D&D. Yeah, and they got some really cool, like, okay, there's a card that's called the Rogue Class, which basically you gain levels by spending a certain amount of mana, and it gives you abilities, and it gives your creatures abilities, just some really cool stuff. I think this has been a long time coming.
Cool. So I have another story. I have a couple retro gaming stories that I found. This one is the Legend of Zelda cartridge sells for a record $870,000 at auction.
Oh, wow.
That, and it broke the previous record held by a sealed copy of Super Mario Brothers that went for $660,000 in April. Both were sold by Heritage Auctions, included a 20% buyer's fee. I'm trying to see what makes it so. It's a 9.0. It's a 9.0 sealed Legend of Zelda cartridge.
I've read about this. It's not exactly like the very, very, very first release, but it is the earliest release that you theoretically can buy that's available.
Yes.
So it's the earliest known release that is up for sale.
One of the earliest production runs that the auction site has had the opportunity to offer is what the listing says,
right?
On
and
it.
If someone had a sealed case of an earlier production run, it would theoretically run for more, but this is the earliest one that's on the market right now. This lady scored.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. But now she just has to find a buyer.
Yes. and in another retro gaming news, there's a woman gets two world records for her vintage gaming collection. It's an African-American lady, and she's from, her name is, oh, where's her name? Linda Gilroy from Richardson, Texas, earned two achievements for her massive collection of thousands of handheld tabletop and even watched-based gaming systems. So it's Tiger Electronic handhelds, all that kind of stuff. She owns every Nintendo released in North America. She was 8 years old. She found a broken 1979 Red Conic basketball game. She just wanted to see if she could beat the high score. And then so she just kept getting a new game and a new game. In a new game. Oh, she's 33 years old.
Wow.
Oh no. Yeah, yeah. Wow. Yeah, she's 33 years old.
You know how like people are like, yeah, so and so was this old when they, you know, became famous or something like that. Like that's something that I'm like disappointed. I'm like, man.
Wow. Okay.
She's only 2 years older than me. She's way cooler.
So she has 1,599 LCD gaming systems. And 2,430 playable gaming systems.
Oh, wow.
That's ridiculous.
Jesus. Yeah, that is crazy.
Like, I'm always like, oh man, I got a lot of games. And then I'm like, no, I don't. I don't. Not even a lot. Oh, and I guess so she collected, and then the house fire came along and burnt everything down. So she had to start all over.
Oh no.
She is a baller.
Dedication to the game.
Oh yes.
I love this. I love it. Okay, moving on. Y'all's like them Witchers? Captain Platinum, are you a Witcher? Well, I know you've played the game. What about the Netflix series?
I haven't played the game or watched the Netflix
series. Oh, why was I thinking that you had done that? Because it seems like something that you would try in Platinum, probably.
I probably will someday. I just haven't gotten to it yet.
Well, we got the teaser for the second season dropped today. And it looks really good. It's seems very focused on Geralt and Ciri, kind of her training and stuff like that. But it, and I know Mike, you haven't. Panda Pat, have you watched
the trailer yet? No.
Or no, the series.
Yeah.
Because you're a big Witcher fan.
I tried getting into it. I have, like, I think it's a great series. It just didn't ring with me. I even started reading the books. And then I lost interest by book 3, which is The Blood of Elves, which I believe season 2 will be based off of. Because season 1 was based off of the first 2 books. More of the first book. But there were stories from, I think there was one or two stories from the second book.
Mm-hmm.
So it book 3 is going to be season 2. And so, I mean, like, I've gotten into it, but I'm not current. And I think it's a great story. I think it's cool.
One thing I saw in the trailer, though, is my boy Tormund from Game of Thrones is in it. So, you know, I'm automatically in.
Yeah. He gets to be a Witcher, doesn't he?
I believe so. And I heard rumors that Mark Hamill was going to be in it too, but I didn't see anything. So I didn't want to.
There was a rumor at one point, and I don't believe this is going to be the case anymore. Mark Hamill was going to play. Who is that old Witcher? Who's
yes. Yes. Yeah. That was the character. Vesemir.
Vesemir. Yeah. So there was like a wish list cast, or like a rumor that he was going to play Vesemir, but I think he is going to play somebody else. I don't know. It's just kind of rumor mill stuff.
Well, speaking of Vesemir, we also got another announcement of The Witcher Nightmare of the Wolf, which is an anime film being made. And this one is set to follow Vesemir. But in his younger days, kind of his origins as a Witcher. And attempts to save a kingdom from a strange new monster and confront the demons of his past.
I think expanding on other Witchers is a great idea instead of focusing solely on Geralt. There is a Witcher tabletop RPG, which I've heard good things about that I wouldn't mind getting into. I think the world is pretty cool. Maybe it's just Geralt's story that puts a stop on me. I don't know.
So it looks like the company that's working on the anime is Studio MIR or Mir. I'm not sure if how they pronounce it, but they're the studio that made the Netflix Voltron and The Legend of Korra.
Oh.
So yes, this will be coming out August 23rd, and season 2 of The Witcher will come out December 17th. Mike.
We're getting a trailer this early and it's not even till December.
Hey, listen. I still remember when I first got the trailer for Star Wars The Old Republic and the game didn't come out for 8 years. I will be okay with 6 months.
There were trailers, and man, do you remember in the days of like Nintendo Power when it was like when the Nintendo 64 comes out, we're going to get Zelda 64. And like every 6 months, we would get leaked photos on the official Nintendo Power magazine. And it's like, these photos are leaked. It's like, no, it's not. These are production photos. And like, it took forever for that game to come out. Yeah, 6 months ain't long. Maybe it's because we're getting older. And it's like, I guess 6 months can pass in the blink of an eye.
Mike.
What's up?
How do you feel about the Mass Effect butt shots?
I was hoping you were just going to cut off and say, how do you feel about the Mass Effect Legendary Edition? Because, look, I'm having a delightful time.
Well, I'm glad. I'm glad. But did you know that you could go put a mod in that puts back in all of the gratuitous butt shots from Mass Effect 2 and 3?
Why? Like, if you didn't...
No. If that no, article no. Keep didn't it even up. Come, keep it up.
If that article didn't even come out, I wouldn't have even noticed. Right? Everyone likes a good ass. Like, that's just fact. Okay? That's just fact. But when the creators say, you know what? This character that has the gratuitous butt shots, you know, we designed this character, or in her story, she's genetically modified to be perfect. She's her intent is to like get you to like her, like that's part of her story. So they're like, yeah, okay, we're gonna add gratuitous butt shots because that's her gig, is to look good for you. And when the creators come out and they say, you know what, we did that 10 years ago and we're not happy that we did that and we've grown up since then, so we're gonna kind of change it because if we had to make the game over in this day and age, we would not do that. You know what? No, we're going to take it out. We're going to modify the camera angles a little bit. You know, then I say good on them. But don't be like one of those just pussy-ass gamers that are just like, it's censorship. when the studio that made the game is changing it themselves. You can't say, oh, this is gamer censorship, they're going for, you know, they're trying to be PC. You're just using buzzwords because you can't get off on Miranda's ass anymore. Yeah. Like, just calm down. Like, I don't know. I'm getting all raged over it. It's like, why is that a big deal? That doesn't change the quality of the game. I'm playing Mass Effect 2 Legendary Edition, and I'm having a wonderful time. I can't even tell what camera angles changed. My memory ain't that good.
This is amazing.
But you could be having a better time, Mike.
With more butts.
You know what? I'll go stare at Michelle's ass if I want that.
Just have her stand next to the screen while you're playing Mass Effect.
Yeah! Like,
Don't move.
And she would be happy to do that. Like, okay, but seriously, it's like... Why do people have their panties all up in a bunch about something as dumb as that? I don't understand. Like, to some degree, everyone likes a good shot of a butt, but that doesn't account for all the outrage and everything that I have seen about. Like, okay, so I was playing Final Fantasy 14 with a friend the other day, and he was like, hey Mike, I see that you're playing Mass Effect Legendary Edition. And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, how do you think of it? And I was like, I'm liking it a lot. He's like, oh, I've only heard bad things about it. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he was like, because of like the graphical stuff. I'm like, you're talking about the asses, aren't you? And he's just like, well, not just that, but yeah, that's a big part. I'm like, the game plays wonderfully. Graphics weren't even a big deal for me. And I don't care that Miranda's ass is 50% less in the game. Like, I don't care. Why do people care? I don't know. So yeah, it's too much. It's too much. People are too much.
So, Jamie.
Yes, sir.
Tell us about that them there Ubisoft's Assassin's Creed.
All I heard is they're looking at creating, is it infinite?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's going to be an open world. They want to do more like Fortnite, right? They want to kind of go there. Yeah.
Yes, like a live service type thing.
Supposedly, yeah, it's in development.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so it's between Ubisoft, Quebec, and Montreal is what it looks like.
Mike, how do you feel about this?
Oh, I'm still cooling down from Mass Effect, Luke. And you guys are talking about this.
He doesn't want you to cool down. Don't you get it?
No, this is calculated. He's calculating the stories that's going to get my blood pressure raised up. Did I already mention that, like, I'm a few shots of tequila in, but I'm also on pre-workout right now because, like, I needed an upper. And I think it's a combination of the alcohol and the hyperness from pre-workout. But I get worked up, and he's enjoying this. I can't see your face, Luke, but I know you're smiling behind that beard.
I'm always smiling behind the beard.
Oh my gosh, why? It's called Infinity because that's how much engagement that they want from players and how much money they want.
They want you engaged forever.
Give us infinite money, everyone. Get buffs by...
So are you trying to get them to go into the other one? That there's supposedly another game coming that's going to be kind of like this too, is what's rumored.
I haven't heard about that.
Yeah, there's... Yeah. GTA 6, they're saying is.
Oh, yes, 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 yes.
They're saying it's supposed to be kind of going this route too, right?
Right. And we also saw that they're doing the. There's the report that it's going to return to Vice City
mm-hmm.
and feature an evolving map, which I love Vice City, so that they got me on that one. But.
I did not see this news about the, Vice City.
The Vice City?
Yeah, GTA. I was wondering when GTA 6 was coming because. We've only had five for almost 10 years.
Right?
GTA 6 is coming when Elder Scrolls 6 comes.
Yep. Yep. Same release. They're going to come. Could you imagine if those two games came out the same freaking month? People would lose their goddamn minds.
Oh, man.
No one would be out. It would be quarantine all over again, but it would be self-imposed quarantine
For all the gamers.
Right. It'd be awesome. I love Vice City though, so bring back that '80s vibe, and I'm in.
And do Breath of the Wild 2 at the same time, and you've got everybody. Then you're, that would be crazy.
It'd be like the Super Bowl. Everybody calls out on that Monday.
Yeah, right. Call out for a month.
The boss is like, "You're sick, right?
I got turned into a vampire last night. I've been trying to figure it out."
God. I gotta stay indoors.
Awesome.
The damn werewolves were chasing me all night, all right?
Fucking werewolves.
So we're getting a new RoboCop video game that's slated for a 2023 release. It's called RoboCop Rogue City, and it's a first-person shooter, and you're RoboCop. So that could be fun.
That's going to be cool because they could put as much UI stuff in front of your face and be like, this is what RoboCop sees.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's kind of cool. I never really got into RoboCop, but I know it's good.
Well, he really hasn't. Like, they've tried to do. I remember back in the day, like, there were some Genesis games and Super Nintendo games with RoboCop in it. But it was like RoboCop came out and... There was a movie to arcade adaptation in 1988, but mostly it's just been like, you know, here and there console games. He was in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, he got added to Mortal Kombat as DLC.
But he really, I think this could, like, for a classic style RoboCop, I think it could be a good, like, you know, pull in for people that might not be RoboCop fans.
Yeah, it needs to be executed right and not like that. Modernized movie that happened what like 5 years ago.
Yeah, that was not great.
Did you watch it?
I did watch it because I like RoboCop, and I was like, this is okay. All right. I mean, it wasn't terrible. It was the same thing, just kind of modernized, little bit more. And I don't know. It, again, it wasn't, it didn't have the same feel, right? Like when they did the new Blade Runner movie, it had the same feel as the first Blade Runner movie. It did, this didn't have that. I mean, it was okay though. So Captain Platinum, you want to hear my thoughts about my, favorite upcoming video game?
Absolutely. I miss having you on the podcast, and I want to hear your thoughts, Luke.
I swear to God, if I see another thing about fucking Deathloop, I'm going to jump through a goddamn window. They have been beating this goddamn horse since last E3.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I sent you the...
So done.
I sent you the, like, hey, there's going to be a PlayStation Direct on this, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. Okay, so they did, they're like, cool, it's, you know, it's a repeating thing, you get killed and you start over again, or you keep progressing through, you get killed, but, like, you know, now you know more of this, you know, more of what's going on to try and stop yourself to get out of this death loop. And then four different bits between all the different developers, like, look at the soundtrack, okay, cool. Here's a character. Fucking cool. All right. Give me the game. No. We're going to wait. And then we're going to give you four more goddamn trailers. And so, and here's my confusion, right? So, Sony has the exclusive for this when it's released this September. Right. But it will only be a year, and then it goes to, you know, everybody else, mostly Xbox. Bethesda and Arkane Studios are making Deathloop. So this is my confusion.
Is it going to work?
Why Bethesda, who is owned by Microsoft, is putting an exclusive on PlayStation?
I wonder if it was done before the deal, because they talked about this game last year at E3, if I remember right.
So oh, yeah.
Oh, it's probably one of the last ones we'll get that way, is my guess.
Well, or it could be something with, because we got on Xbox, we got the show from PlayStation Studios was released on Xbox this year. That wasn't an exclusive, but
I want to get into the show again.
It's fun. I have fun with it. Oh my God, guess what the PlayStation State of Play gave us? 9 minutes of walkthrough of Deathloop.
And you looked all 9 minutes of it, didn't you?
I bludgeoned my head until I passed out. And then I woke up when it was over.
I guess.
Yes.
Go ahead, Panda Pat.
I didn't have anything to say. I was just laughing at that.
I was gonna say, like, I don't trust game footage anymore when it's, like, released by the studio.
Yeah.
Because after Anthem and Cyberpunk, it's just, you know, it's too convenient for the studios to fake the footage.
Right. So I am reading here that this is not the last Bethesda published PS5 game. We are also getting that Ghostwire Tokyo. That's going to be another timed exclusive. But I don't know how long that's going to be. But speaking of Cyberpunk, Mike, I got it for free.
Ooh, how'd you get it for free?
My brother, he got the new Xbox, and he had a 1X. And he just was like, you know, I don't need it. So he sent it to me. And he bought the combo, right? So it was on Series X and Xbox One, and he had claimed the version for the Series X, but not for the Xbox One. So I just turned it on and I was going through. I was like, oh, Cyberpunk. Cool. So I started playing Cyberpunk.
And how is it?
Well, I got past the wiener stage.
Right.
So
they need a bigger variety of sizes.
Right. Right. Where's mid-range? Where's the mid-range one?
What are you talking about? There's no high range at all.
Where's micro? All right.
I want like a big floppy donkey.
So like the characters we made in Conan.
Yes.
Yeah, I get that. I get that. Tripodicus.
they did have like that was one of the big things. I remember when they did the behind closed doors, you know, reveal of character creation and stuff, which again turned out to be faked. Mm-hmm. But like they censored out the genitals and they were like, yes, you can customize everything.
And then Todd Howard appears in the bottom corner and go, yeah.
So everyone's just like, okay, can I get a Prince Albert? Like, what can I do?
Can I get a Robodick?
And it's just like three settings and it doesn't make any difference. Unlike Saints Row, right? Saints Row the Third, where mm-hmm. you can make the size of your junk so big and then run around in underwear swinging a giant dildo bat that makes people explode.
Yes.
But you can't do that in Cyberpunk. Like, there was no point to it and you didn't have enough options. And it's like, okay, that's cool, but unless I can, like, see it flopping around. And this isn't just go for dicks. Like, this goes, you know, for, like, balloon ass or boobs or, you know, maybe I want my calves to be rockets or whatever. But
your calves look like Popeye's forearms.
Yes. But, like, give me options if you're going to brag about it.
Mm.
Don't give me three settings that's not going to do anything.
Yeah. So I ended up picking the Nomad.
I didn't know I was going to rant about junk.
I felt like deep down you did know. but yeah, so I started playing Nomad. I just got into the city and kind of just started just trying to figure out like the first couple missions. I didn't get a play. I played it for like, you know, a couple hours one night. I do plan on and diving into it mostly because I want to see the Alana Pierce character.
Yeah. Yeah. She, you have to play the Nomad.
Yeah. That's the whole reason I picked the Nomad.
I will probably get back to it eventually. I think the main storyline was cool, but I was having too many problems with it. It was too basic. I'm kind of hoping that the free DLC, if it ever comes, adds a little bit of spice.
But yeah. Yeah. So we also got an announcement from the Nintendos, Captain.
Did we hear something from the Nintendos about possibly some new hardware coming?
We sure did. Go ahead and tell us about it.
So they're not giving us what we want, but they're
it's Nintendo, of course.
So we're getting an OLED version of the Switch, which the best way I've found to describe this to people is, you remember the Nintendo 3DS? Remember when we got the 3DS XL? That's kind of how I feel this is. They're like, basically same hardware, but we're giving you an OLED screen, a little bit wider kickstand, and better audio and a wired LAN.
Yeah, that's genuinely the only positive, the only thing that I was like, oh, cool. The dock lets you just hook a LAN cable into it.
Which
can I buy that separately, please?
My Switch is on the second floor with my TV, and my router's on the first floor, so that doesn't help.
See, for me, it helps.
Didn't someone from Nintendo say, like, I've never seen this quote, and I'm trying to remember where it was, and I'm not searching it right now because it's too much for me. But I thought someone said, like, if you play the Switch on the TV, you might as well just keep your old Switch. But, like, while that makes sense coming from a pundit, this was, like, straight from Nintendo themselves.
Right. I saw someone say the best part about this is how it might drive the prices of the regular Switches down so people can finally like feel like they can go get them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because if you play on a TV, this upgrade does not matter. So it
nope.
And I got I've got like a 72 inch 4K TV. I don't need this upgrade. Like,
right. I have seen so many great articles on the internet about this. Like one that says, Nintendo, stop trying to get me to play my Switch outside. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And the one from the newest trailer, Nintendo Switch hallway guy. What the hell are you doing?
His kids are screaming in the background, I'm starving, Dad!
He's just There's like... just a guy sitting on a bench in a hallway looking at the base of his stairs playing the Switch on the most uncomfortable looking chair or bench I've ever seen in my life. It's like he's in timeout. It's like he's in timeout.
Yep.
Lay down in bed for crying out loud. Holy crap.
Yeah. The funny thing is like I play mine a lot, like when I travel. So it's kind of my system for that. So that's where I'm like, possibly, but I'm like, do I even need to?
Because it's like $378 or something like that for this model.
Right. So it's basically a PS5 Lite.
Right.
The one without the discless drive.
Yeah. The digital one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Again, if you let me buy the dock, then I'll be like, okay, cool. I want that LAN ability. But other than that, have fun, people that would like to get this.
I love the memes of everyone going, OLED. Oh, you mean the PS Vita did that like 8 years ago?
Yes.
Yeah, but they're doing it.
Vita.
But they're doing it with Mario, so that's different, right? That makes it better?
Yep.
So before we jump into Mike's stuff he wanted to talk about, let's talk a little bit about what we've been playing. Captain Platinum, do you want to go first?
Sure. Basically, I have been playing Naruto Ultimate Ninja Storm 2 just because I haven't felt like streaming at all this week. So I put Horizon Zero Dawn on the side for a minute and I started playing that just because I wanted something to play casually. And it's been kind of fun. I did Ultimate Ninja Storm last year around this time. So I was like, a year later, let's just do the other one. And it's been fun. I didn't finish the anime of Shippuden, but this is the very beginning of it. So, I just finished chapter 2 today. So I'll get back to streaming Horizon Zero Dawn probably some other time this weekend. But I was just looking for something to play on the side. And then played a little bit more Pokemon Go. Eevee, that's what I've been playing. I'm at, I think it's Sabrina, the psychic gym leader. Yeah, she's a pain. You have to be level 45, have leveled those level 45 Pokemons, you know. Other than that, I did pick up Monster Hunter Stories 2 today, and I got that installed. I'm going to give that a whirl, possibly this weekend as well. So.
Cool. Panda Pat.
Me. I just am still playing Resident Evil. I actually started 6, because 5 was a little hard on the Switch, because the way the controller is. I'm going to play it with the controller, otherwise it feels weird. But I started 6, and so I'm partially through the campaign because I skipped ahead to, what's her name, Sherry Birkin and Jake. Head to their campaign because I played the other two when it was the game of the month. Otherwise, still playing Sims, and I actually, there is some sort of download that I'm trying to get for Final Fantasy XI, so I can play that for free because I don't want to pay for it. I was thinking about trying that one out. I had never played it before, so.
Final Fantasy XI?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is some fan-made modded version that you can play for free. So it's not on like regular servers, but there's a ton of people playing it already.
Wow, that's intriguing.
Yeah, when I figure out how to do it, I'll send you the link.
Oh, cool.
And didn't you start up the Skyrims too?
Oh, I did. Okay, so I finally I originally started Skyrim on the PlayStation 4, and then I switched over to the Xbox, and I finally figured out how to get the fucking mods to work. Come to find out, I was signed in and I couldn't link my Xbox to my Bethesda account because it was already linked to a separate account straight through Xbox Live. And so I did start that up, and I basically just made a rogue ninja. She wields two short knives, two daggers, and she's completely covered. Like, face is full-on covered. She's totally a ninja. I think the set I used was the ebony set. No, that's not right.
That could be. Or is it the Nightingale?
Maybe it's the Nightingale. I don't know, because the hood, I'm pretty sure, is not part of the game. I think it's custom content from the mods. So,
see, other than me going ridiculous with the mods, most mods I use, like the ones that I have on there now, are just like expansion of like lore within the game. So like weapons from Morrowind and from Oblivion. But there was at one point I was just using, because there's all the historical mods, and I'm a giant history nerd. So it was like it turned like all of the Imperials into like actual Roman soldiers. Like, they took away all the others. They were legit Roman soldiers and stuff like that. And like all the weaponry, like you could get like the Viking weaponry, and it was just straight up. But yeah, that's usually the mods, unless I want Macho Man Randy Savage horse and
and the dragon.
And the Thomas the Tank Engine dragon. Mike, what have you been playing?
Okay, so as I said earlier, I am playing the Mass Effect Legendary Edition. But like I normally do, I put it down for a bit so I can make time for other games. I completed Mass Effect 1, and I just started Mass Effect 2 just to get into the vibe of it. Mm-hmm. And I forgot how fun that game was. And how much better it is than Mass Effect 1. I heard someone describe it as Mass Effect 1 is to the Mass Effect series as the Star Wars prequels are to Star Wars. Whereas, like, it has good content, but the execution is kind of poor. And it's, like, yeah, it sets up for an amazing sequel, but like the moment I moved Commander Shepard, I was like, oh, this is so much better. just because he moves so much more precise, and his weapons, and you have ammo for number two. I forgot about that. So, and I've never played three, so I just kind of got started on it, but then I put it down because I'm like, okay, Mass Effect 1 was actually my checkpoint. So I'm going to put this down until I complete another game. And I've been mainly focusing on Trails in the Sky, which Captain Platinum and I, we talked about that pretty extensively last week. I think I'm sold on Trails of the Sky. I think I like it. There came a point when I was walking, I was just kind of like, expecting the characters just to kind of grow and to interact with each other. Like, it's not a crazy story. It's more just like a tale about them growing as individuals. And I was getting that. Like, I think I'm about halfway through the game, and there was just some really good dialogue, and I'm like, I like this a lot. So I think I'm sold on the game. I'm going to give it until probably game number three to really sell me on the series. But so far, I'm really liking it. I punched in like all day on one of my days off, and it was pretty good. I liked it a lot.
Cool.
And then the other one that I'm playing, of course, is Final Fantasy 14, which since I'm the last one to talk about the games I'm playing, I'll get into.
Well, not the last, sir.
Well,
I have not talked about the games I am playing.
Oh,
God.
Oh, Luke.
God.
You don't matter.
It's just Call of Duty, guys. It's just Call of Duty.
Are you really just playing Call of Duty?
That and the little bit of Cyberpunk, because the time I've had to play has been like I've got 45 minutes before bed, so I'm just going to play some multiplayer matches in Call of Duty and then call it good.
Okay, cool. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's been fun. I've been playing with my got my brother on playing again, so that's been fun, mostly to hear him yell at the 12-year-olds that are just smoking us. It's highly entertaining.
I never really got into it, but I can see myself getting into it for a weekend, maybe.
Yeah, and it's good for, like, because I don't burn myself out on it. I'll play like 2 or 3 matches, and then I'm like, okay, I'm good for the day. And I'll go, you know, watch a show or a movie or whatever, go to bed. Next day, I'll come home and I'll be like, oh, okay, cool. Let me get a couple more, you know, matches in and then call it good and do whatever else. So it's been really good for that, for me at least.
Okay, cool.
Continue.
One of the things I wanted to get into. So there's some ruckus going about the MMO space for video games. You know, the legendary foretold WoW killer has finally made an appearance after their arrival has been prophesied for the past 12 years. This legendary WoW killer is now Final Fantasy 14. Doesn't mean WoW is out for the count, but Final Fantasy 14 has broken all subscription records that it has ever had. It has broken its Steam records because there is a current mass exodus from World of Warcraft right now. Part of that is in due to a guy named Asmongold, who is a really big... He's the biggest WoW streamer on Twitch. For his day one of trying out Final Fantasy 14, he had 200,000 concurrent viewers. This dude is big. He has a huge, huge audience. And he decided that he was going to give Final Fantasy 14 a shot. Now, I don't know very much about Asmongold, other than my friends Jesse and his brother Nathan. They are they watch him because they hate him, and I can kind of feel my blood boiling as I watch him, because he just seems kind of, I don't know, he's just not my cup of tea. Because he had some really weird criticisms of Final Fantasy 14. Just 6 months ago, the dude swore on his life he would never play Final Fantasy 14 because it was weeb shit, from what he said. He said it was a weeb game. And the whole, like, women with cat ears is a weeb thing, that he's just not into it. Yeah, that was
his douche.
Yes, exactly. That's why I hate him. He's like, no, that's just some anime cat girl bullshit.
Does he realize that Final Fantasy's franchise is probably older than him?
Oh, yes. Yes.
He can fuck the fuck off. That's exactly.
Okay, I want to hear
fuck off.
I want to hear Panda Pat rant, because I've been doing the ranting, and I like it when Panda Pat.
That's dumb. Like, that reminds me of a time when someone's like, "Yeah, I read one of the Fathom comics, and I got this very xenophobic vibe." And I'm like, "No, you don't get to fucking say that. This is like a 20-year-old comic. You like do the fucking research." You don't get it. No, Final Fantasy 14 has been out way longer than the whole Wii bullshit was fucking cool. Oh, I hate World of Warcraft players. They're so dumb.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So this, you're going to love this, where the story goes, Panda Pat. Okay. So that was 6 months ago. He swore he'd never play it, and he constantly bag on cat girls. So he finally starts playing it. And you can look up clips of him, and they're like 30-second, 45-second clips of him talking, like, during his play. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden he's like, oh, Ishtola, which is the cat girl, she's like the main cat girl in the game. She's so fucking hot.
Oh my god.
And it's like, can I, like, this character, man, this, she's just wearing a bikini, can I, like, pat her on the head? And he tried. Oh yeah, I can pat her on the, oh yes. And, like, And he then, like, there's other clips of him.
He was trying to destroy.
Yes! And, it, like, you can see it's, like, this transformation. He's slowly being corrupted by weeb shit. And he's loving it. And it, so this, his whole journey is what fascinates me. I can't stand the guy. But he, his transformation is... is really interesting. Final Fantasy 14 until he jumped in. Final Fantasy 14's biggest voice. Okay, my dog is going absolute nuts. Scout! Sorry, I'm yelling into my microphone. Scout him this!
Stop. I can't hear him.
I'm busy.
Yeah, okay. we can't hear him, Mike.
We can't hear him. Okay.
He just flipped out and screamed with
Okay. All right. So. Until Asmongold jumped into Final Fantasy 14, the biggest voice for Final Fantasy 14, as far as Twitch goes and streaming goes, is this girl named Zeppla. And she's super adorable, right? She has this southern twang accent, and she's very soft spoken and she's very polite. And she, like, half of her content on YouTube is helping new players get into the game. Mm-hmm. She's incredibly helpful and everything. And she did a 2-hour live discussion with Asmongold, trying to sell him on the game. And she jumps onto the stream with bunny ears. which is another race you can play as in Final Fantasy 14. You can play as the Viera, and he was like taken aback. He was like, "Whoa, you got ears!" And she's like, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." And he was weirded out by it. And she was just being herself, right? But like, she did a whole like welcome video for him, knowing that he's the type of guy who's going to bring in a ton of toxic players and stuff. Yeah. Right. Because, and he made kind of like a retrospective video about like, why is it that Final Fantasy 14 seems, and it's not a clear cut rule, but it seems that Final Fantasy 14 is generally, not in all circumstances, but generally less toxic and WoW.
Oh yeah. And he thinks, well, your age group is a lot older.
That his theory is that the narrative in WoW is very vindictive, while as the narrative in Final Fantasy 14 can be very forgiving. Like, you know, the bad guys, we give them a second chance and they actually change. I thought that was an interesting argument. But like, for a while, when he jumped on Final Fantasy 14, people stream sniped him. They found out when he was going on, and then everyone logged on the server that he was on and would crowd around him. They would get on their whale mounts and crowd up his screen so he couldn't play. Mm-hmm. And while he thought that was funny, it was pissing him off. And like, Square jumped on and was like, "No, we're going to ban or temporary ban all these players that did that to you."
I love that.
And he was like, he was like, "I'm not exactly like the best person in the world, but they were defending me because I just wanted to play the game." Mm-hmm. And so like, Square Enix left a good impression on him. Zeppla, she left a good impression on him, and he's loving the game now. And he's drawing so many people from WoW onto Final Fantasy 14. And it's so interesting to see him turn into a weeb. Because now he loves cat girls. It's like his favorite. He loves the Lalafell.
The Lalafell are so good.
Which, in case people who aren't familiar with Final Fantasy 14, every single race in Final Fantasy 14 has the potential to look like a badass. Even the cat girls, right? Because of armor decisions and stuff. But the Lalafell look like chibi anime designs. You can't get around how cute they look. Uh-huh. So you try to sell them as the warrior of light, who saves the world, and they just look cute. And he's just like, "This Lalafell is different. You can tell this Lalafell has a different personality." And it's just like, dude, you're making, like, you now would fight with the you from 6 months ago. And it's just so fun to see. It's just fun. So yeah, Asmongold, you can look him up on YouTube. And just after 30 seconds, you may know, okay, yeah, he can be annoying for Dungeon Master Mike. Mm-hmm. But seeing his transformation is great.
So there was one more thing you wanted to talk about that we can wrap up the episode on some plagiarism in the gaming journalism industry.
Luke's like, move on. We're almost at an hour. Okay. So, I'm trying to find out where to even begin because this type of shit makes people who claim that Gamergate is like a valid thing, like it gives them voice because things like this happens. So I guess I'll start off at the very beginning. I'm not sure if I was the direct reason or the direct cause. Obviously this writer for a prominent gaming outlet, his actions are the cause of him getting fired. But I think I had a fairly good hand in his firing. And so I kind of wanted to tell the story about it because a lot of our listeners, they have, you know, they do videos on YouTube. They do, we do Twitch streams, we do podcasts. We're all kind of like a good big community. But relatively in the podcast world, even when it comes to like the biggest show in Utah, Geek Show, right? Relatively to other podcasts in other states, they're still kind of small. It's not very often you're going to hear someone in Maryland say, "Oh, I know Geek Show podcast," because that's more of a Utah thing. This YouTube creator was targeted because he had a small audience and because this author thought he can get away with it.
No.
Okay. So I'm going to tell the story from the very beginning. I ended up getting a Google article. I want you to like count how many chances, just chance occurrences had to occur for this guy to get caught, right? Because he very easily could have flown under the radar. So chance number one was that this article popped up on my Google feed, and it was from, and I will use their name because they did a good deed by firing the guy and acting fairly quickly. It was from The Gamer. The Gamer is an actual gaming outlet. I don't know very much about them. I hear that they're kind of in league with CBR, which Luke, I know you hate CBR.
Yeah, I do.
But The Gamer, I think, is under that same corporate umbrella. So they got a pretty big following on Twitch, and I got this article and I had to save it on my desktop because it ended up getting deleted. You can't find it anymore. So I saved the HTML on my desktop and it was, titled "The 10 Worst JRPG Party Members." Now I'm a big JRPG fan, so I thought this article was fun, and he goes through the 10, in this writer's opinion, this writer's name, and I'm going to sell off this guy's name. You can look him if you want. And I have permission from the guy who was plagiarized to share everything too, so you don't have to worry about that. But this guy, this author named Will Bertassel Lambert, who is, I think he's in Nova Scotia, but I'm just going to refer to him as the author, Will Lambert, the author. He writes this article, and I thought it was fun. And so I am on a Discord server with another YouTuber, not the one who was targeted. And this YouTuber's name is Lady Pelvic. Lady Pelvic, she's a Black creator. She's really awesome and funny. I'm on her Discord. We play Among Us with a big group of her fans, and she's pretty good. She's also a small-time YouTube creator. When I say small-time, I mean like 30 to 50K subscribers, which is decent. That's a decent size, but it generally takes a lot for the YouTube algorithm to put you on people's screens. Generally, the people, especially in gaming, they got at least 500,000 to a million plus subscribers. So Lady Pelvic, she's growing. She's growing super fast, but she's in 30 to 50,000. And so I was like, hey, here's this article, top 10 JRPG characters that suck. Discuss. And she thought it was an amazing article. She loved it. And people were talking about it on Discord. And so people were going back and forth. And she comes back and says, oh, no. In fact, I got the Discord up in front of me right now. She says, it looks like we have a case of plagiarism. And so we're like, whoa, what happened? Is this on one of your videos? And she says, no, I have a friend who also does YouTube videos. He's got about the same amount of subscribers, a little bit more than she does. He's at like 40,000, 41,000. And I forwarded it to him because this is like the same thing that he does. In fact, he did a whole series about JRPG characters that suck. And these are characters that not necessarily in the story that suck, but mechanically suck in the game. So I'm going to go to my Twitter right now and just read exactly what I ended up writing, because details start to get important. I start to get into like timing and stuff. So I ended up getting mad. Because I ended up forwarding this article, and this article is getting clicks because I forwarded it to a Discord server. And so I got mad and I was like, hey, at the gamer website, didn't know you guys agreed with plagiarism. And I put up that article, and then I said versus, and I put up the series of YouTube videos, right? And the series of YouTube videos, it was like six videos of top 10 mechanically bad JRPG characters. Every single character on the article's list was in these videos. And not only that, the guy took the very same ideas and just reworded it. Like, he was a high school student who was just like, I want to do a book report, but I don't want to actually write the book report. So I'm going to take the Wikipedia article and I'm just going to like rearrange the words. That's what this article did. To illustrate that, on this article, the number one character that he had was, quote, almost everyone in Chrono Cross, whereas the YouTuber who he copied off of had half the characters in Chrono Cross, right? So you can see, like, these ideas are almost exactly the same. The YouTuber, on just this one example, the YouTuber says, you know, it has a very catch-em-all type of feel to it with Pokemon, because the Chrono Cross has 45 playable characters. And the article makes the same exact point. And he says, a whopping 45 playable characters sounds like a great roster size, but it's pretty much. But apparently, this guy didn't get the memo since it becomes more of a collecting spree or something along those lines in the article. So the ordering is his own, but the exact characters that he chooses and the ideas in that are presented are all copied from this YouTuber whose name is David Vince. I would recommend check it out. David Vince. He's again, smaller YouTuber, but I like his content. And so I end up getting a response from two editors from The Gamer. One response has since been deleted. And I actually have that tweet saved, because the moment you post anything, it gets saved. So I'm going to pull that up right now. Sorry, I had this. Oh, yeah. Okay. So this guy named George Foster, you can find him at GEPUGG, and I'm throwing him out there. He posts at 5:18 p.m. He tweets at me and says, this is also a clearly opinion-based piece, ? At 5:19, 1 minute later, on his Twitter, this is a tweet that's not deleted. He says, I can't believe I have to say this because of some stupid YouTube video, but the Gamer Magazine is the best job I've ever had, and I work with people who legitimately care about journalism. Right? So this guy, this editor, begins to just like fight back, and he's like, he obviously didn't agree. He's like, this is obviously an opinion-based article. And what he doesn't seem to understand is that you can plagiarize opinions. And I said, both sources seem to have the same opinions and express them in very similar ways. See both these examples. See both the article and the videos for these examples. By that time, David Vince sent Lady Pelvic the exact timestamps for the videos that go over each entry in the article. So now I have timestamps in all the videos for every character that the guy brought up, and you can do a side-by-side comparison. It's very much similar to the Philip Mewson case from IGN when he copied off of the Shotgun Gamer for a Dead Cells review. It was very eerily similar, where you can listen to David Vince's video dialogue and then read the article, and you can tell it was idea, point for point copied. And so I sent him that tweet with the timestamps, and he deletes his tweet. Because it's undeniable.
Right.
Before I got the timestamps, I got another message from another editor who said, let's see. Yeah, he says, these lists seem completely different. Am I missing something? Which I said, they touch on the same points, but with different words. What the editor was looking at was, he was looking at the order of the characters in the article versus the order of the characters in the other YouTube videos. So at first glance, it looked completely different, which, you know, if you're a journalist, you should look a little bit deeper, but that's just my opinion. But he was less confrontational, so I had a softer tone with him. And I said, it's one thing to agree on certain points, but to touch on the same points in the same way with similar wording, nah, I don't believe it. It's plagiarism. And he says, there's a lot of videos there. Would you mind providing timestamps? And that's when I got the timestamps and I posted it. And then he responds right after and he says, we'll be in touch with David. Thanks for bringing it to our attention. So then I sent the guy a message on that same day. And I said, hey, thank you for the professional and grateful response earlier today. And thank you for taking down the article. At this point, the article was deleted and I knew they caught him. And I said, this is really appreciated. Hope you don't mind if I follow you. And he says, I do appreciate you letting us know. We run every post through software plagiarism, but it's not going to catch ideas. Later on that same day, what I decided to do was, you know what? I wonder if this guy is a first-time offender. He's probably actually plagiarized a few other things before. So I took his list of articles that he wrote for The Gamer, and I punched those article titles. And it's stuff like, you know, top 10 Western shooter characters or something like that. And I punched them in the Google, and wouldn't you know it, there are articles with the same exact title or Reddit posts or YouTube videos from lesser known people. For like, out of the five articles that I chose at random, every single five of them had equivalent lists that were making similar points. I didn't dive too deep into it because at this point, my stake in it was already done. But I decided to send the gamer another, that editor, another tweet. And I said, hey, I did a quick Google search on the titles of the articles. I don't mean to beat a dead horse. But interestingly enough, I found identical article titles from other sources. I only compared one article briefly without going into too much detail, but they look like they could be borrowed ideas. I don't have a stake in this race, so I'm not going to use up my energy for a full day of research like I did with David Vince's content. But it's possible your site may be hosting other pilfered ideas. Just thought to let you know. I didn't have any interest on posting it, on like ousting. I wasn't trying to be vindictive or anything. I just thought, hey, if your site's hosting this, you may want to take a closer look. And he says, hey, yeah, we assumed that was going to be the case. The writer was fired, for your information. I can't be sure that we're going to take everything else down that he wrote, but it's definitely a project that's added to someone's list. They're assigned to go through each of the articles that he wrote and compare it online and then make changes. And I've seen one of his articles have actually already had edits done to it. And so I was kind of impressed with how they handled it.
Mm-hmm.
But David Vince, if you are interested, I can post this in the chat. He did, once it was brought to his attention by Lady Pelvic, he did a video on being plagiarized. And he goes through it all in detail in like a 15-minute video. But he also talks about, and this is the point that I really want to hit on for small content creators. He talks about the emotional cost that it took him to get through this, because he was trying to contact the gamer, and apparently the gamer was really hard for him to get a hold of. They claimed to have tried to contact him. He was hard to get a hold of, so it was very he said, she said type of thing. I got the clear correlation from the gamer. I got contact with one of their editors, and he finally got one email saying, hey, one of your fans brought this to our attention. We're sorry. The writer has been let go. But he talks about how that wasn't enough for him, because he spent the entire day stressing about it, trying to contact the gamer to no success, going through making sure that he wasn't going crazy, asking people's opinions, and he was stressed out. He said by the end of the day, he only had enough energy to go to work, which he teaches fifth graders. And he's like, if my fifth graders know the difference with your own ideas and plagiarism, why shouldn't a professional writer know the same thing? And he said it gassed him so much that all he could do was sleep for a day. And it's, I didn't feel that from like going with the gamer. I liked their response, but he was the one who was the victim of plagiarism. So my message to the Nerdome Network and to small creators and people who have videos on YouTube and everything, like if you find yourself getting caught, not caught, that was the wrong word. If you find yourself being plagiarized, like it sucks, but like you got to fight that fight because you're susceptible for your ideas to be stolen. And that really sucks to acknowledge that. Because we have a smaller audience, someone from a bigger outlet can be like, I can borrow their ideas and no one will know because they're in a small group. You know?
Right, right. And it's funny, speaking of that, I actually talking with another host from the network named Chelsea, and she I told her I made it as an artist because as I was scrolling through Instagram, I see an Instagram account called Major Sonic Fan, and their main picture is one of my pieces of art that I did a while ago. And I was like, I've made it as an artist. Someone took my art and passed it off as their own. Oh, I love it. But all right. So we've gone a little over an hour. Does anyone else have anything you want to talk about, say before we wrap everything up?
This is about the same length of episode that Captain Platinum and I go to. And yep. Every single time we're like, we're just going to talk for like a half hour, and we get to
hour and 45 minutes
later. Hour 14 minutes,
yeah. Captain Platinum, you have anything else you want to throw in there before we wrap this up?
I think I'm good this week.
All right. Guys, thanks for listening. You guys check out all the other shows we got over on GNN. There's new episodes of Nerddome that have been coming up. Chelsea and Noel Go to Hell, Tales from the Comic Shop, Fandom Podcast, us. So yeah, go check, give everybody a listen, check it out. And yeah, hey Captain.
Yes, sir.
What do you have any words of advice for our listeners for this upcoming week?
The only thing I could think is that everybody should game harder.
All right. Bye, guys.
Gross.
Bye.
This show is part of the Geek Nerd Network.
Geek Nerd Network.
Find more shows like it at geeknerdnetwork.com. This is Jen.